interest. Over the last couple of weeks, since Kathy and I got back, many of you have expressed, how did it go? You were in our prayers, various statements along that line, and that means a lot to us to know that while we were gone, even though we were caught up in the things that were going on there, to be mindful that our brethren back home were praying for us, and that's a great thing. Also, I'm thankful for that the elders have provided this opportunity to share this with you. And thank you, Corey, for reading that. That passage is a great passage because it really shows us that in the first century church, what we're doing tonight happened often because men traveled around and taught, and there were various results. We think about the good things that happened. People all rendered obedience to the gospel, but if you back up a few verses, Paul was dragged out and stoned and left for dead. So sometimes things weren't necessarily all that good. And sometimes when you travel, you do travel in some areas that are a little different than they are here as far as how safe they are. But we always are mindful that the Lord will see us through those, and we're thankful for that. We got started in the work in Chiapas back in 2001, and that was based upon a conversation that I had with a preacher of the gospel who worked in the Spanish work, Brother Rene Garcia, and he had just been to Chiapas in 2000. And so after he left our house that night, I told Kath, I said, you know, I should go there. I don't know why I'm not. I can learn some Spanish. I can learn enough to communicate, and I should. So the following year, we went in August for 14 days, and that was a long 14 days because it was a wrong time of year to go to a rainforest when it's 100 degrees and raining every day. A lot of stories connected with that. So we learned when not to go, and every trip since that time has always been end of the year, first of the year. May not be the most beautiful time to be there, but it's such a beautiful country. Even in the dry season, it's still beautiful, and the temperatures are better, and so that agrees with us. So that began this whole relationship with these people, Christians that were there, and we decided to go back pretty much on a yearly basis, and I returned and had gone 11 times prior to Kathy going with me last year. And last year when we went, we stayed central in one area. I thought that would be safe and also a good way to sort of like get her feet wet. I kind of thought she could do what I normally did, which is travel around quite a bit, but I just wanted her to go the first time and just kind of get used to being in another country and getting used to that and staying someplace where the house and the bed and the bathroom and those kind of things are sort of like what we have here. Because when you travel and you get away from the city, things change. And it's a little bit more challenging, and I think she has a better appreciation for that now, because after we came back last year, she said, I want to go again next year. When we go next year, which was this past time, I want to do what you used to do and travel with you. And I said, okay, we can sure enough do that. And so we did, and I've told her, I said, I had no doubt. She's really tough, tougher than I am. I had no doubt she could do it. I just knew it was going to be different than anything she had ever done before, because you just can't explain it, and maybe we'll have a little bit to say about that as well. When I tell people that we've been to Chiapas, some kind of give me that look, well, where on earth is Chiapas? And so, again, that kind of gives you an idea where we are in Austin, and typically we fly to Mexico City, and if you can ever not fly to the airport in Mexico City, that's a good idea because it's an experience all by itself. They're building a new airport. This airport was like Austin's airport, built in the city, and now the city's, you know, how many million, 19 million or whatever it is, and so it goes forever. When you fly in and you begin to see the city, you can see the city for as far as you can see because of how large it is. But we flew into Mexico City, and we have a layover, and then we fly into the capital city of Chiapas, and we were thankful to get there that way this year. Last year, we missed our flight and had to fly into Tabasco, which is right above Chiapas, and some brethren had to drive 7 hours to pick us up, and then we got to our destination at 2 in the morning. So we were thankful to get there on time. We left here. Brother Danny dropped us off about noon that day, and we caught the first flight and then had a layover and caught the second flight, a little bit delayed. So we get in about 11:45 into Tuxtla Gutierrez, which, again, a town of about 2 million, And then there was some brothers there that picked us up, and we'll drive to a city called San Cristobal de las Casas. And it's a beautiful city, almost 500 years old, and it's sort of uphill from where we landed. And we almost made it without the car breaking down, but again, I think about 12:30 that night, we pulled over to the side of the road, and Kath and I don't think we were dozing yet. We were just kind of probably sort of distracted, and then we're going, well, why are we pulling over? We haven't made it to the top of the hill yet. And literally, right, it is a hill all the way up for an hour. The car was overheating, so we had to put some water in there, and then we went our way. So we got there. We were looking forward to a good night's rest. And then Brother Elver, our translator, said, well, we got to get up early in the morning because where we were going, the pictures I'm going to show you of La Selva, which in Spanish is the forest, there's a possibility that when we go through a particular city that we might encounter some trouble. People blocking the roads, and then you can't pay them enough to get through. And so he said, we're going to have to get up early. So we got to bed at 1:45 and got up at 4 and left and began our journey so we could get to La Selva. So you can kind of see, based upon the pictures in the background, we've arrived where the building is, the parking lot here. Brother Ruperto Navarro, this is the brother. This is the husband of Sister Anna. You'll see them together in a moment. So this is Brother Ruperto, the father whose child just passed away. When we were there last year, their child had just been born. And when we got there, the child had been born 3 weeks or so before we got there. And they were living in a Volkswagen bug van, very old. It was parked in the parking lot of the hospital, and they had been there since a child had been born. That was 3 weeks after the birth of that child. Something wrong with the breathing, because I know finally when the child could be dismissed from the hospital, they had to have oxygen, respirator, and those type of things. And so anyway, that child lived, again, as many of you know, up until about a couple of weeks before we made the trip down there. I just wanted you to see the picture because, first of all, this is before the gift has been given. So he's happy. He's happy to see us, and we're happy to see him. He's riding a motorcycle. That's a good thing now because when he was a younger boy, he helped establish a congregation that I'll show you in just a moment, Chavarrico, and he had to take his bicycle first when he was a young boy, and it took him about 3 or 4 hours to bicycle over there to preach the gospel on Sunday. Then he got to where he'd ride his horse. So he goes on Saturday, would preach 2 times on Sunday, and then return. And so we were trying to help him get back there and get there and back quicker. So we got him a motorcycle, and that cuts his trip down to about an hour. So looks like he's taking care of his motorcycle, and we're thankful for that. So now we're with the brethren in Suspiro. And we're preparing for worship. This congregation that we'll see here, this is the oldest congregation in the forest area, La Selva. And when I tell you this, old, it's hard to appreciate that, again, my first trip was 2001, and the gospel had only been in this area not even 20 years. So the gospel hasn't been in this part of the world 40 years yet. So it's very, very young, but we're thankful for the preachers who used to ride their bike from Ocosingo over 3 hours to preach the gospel in Suspiro to these brethren. They rode their bicycles down our dirt road. So we're preparing for worship. There's somebody climbing up on that ladder. I didn't realize what they were doing, but they set up a cell phone, and it had, I think they were going to try to record video, and also they were going to try to record the lesson. So their technology is coming along too, as far as being able to record and video the lesson. So I want to make sure we saw that. Now we're preaching there at the congregation, and you can see that there are three of us because in this congregation there is still some of the Indian dialect, Tzotzil. So I'm going to preach, say a few things. Brother Elver is going to translate it into Spanish, and then Brother Humberto Rodriguez, who is one of the original men who used to ride his bike out to Suspiro to preach the gospel, is going to translate it into their dialect. I just thought I would point out the floors. I was there in 2001, and I think these are the same floors they had then. I think they're original with the congregation. So anyways, I'm thankful for the floors we have here, but if you were there, your shoes are going to be a little bit dirtier when you leave worship service as they are here. There's Brother Elver. Espinosa, our interpreter. Behind him sits the wife of Brother Humberto, who I just showed you in one of the original members in Suspiro. Brother Elver speaks very good English, and I'll tell you why, because he swam the Rio Grande 3 times. The first time he swam the Rio Grande, he got caught, and he got sent back to Mexico. Got smarter, made it the second time, and made it all the way to Atlanta. Had a relative or something there, maybe a brother. The brother finally got him there. Went back to Mexico and swam it a third time, and the third time he was successful as well. Went back to Atlanta, went to work for that furniture company called Haverty's, and was doing really good in the warehouse, making good money. He was really excited about what he was doing, making good old American money. And he met a brother in Christ, and the brother in Christ invited Elver over to his house to have some dinner. And so he accepted, and they got over there and began to eat. And before dinner was over with, the brother started talking about Christ, evangelizing. And Elver goes, "Oh, I knew that's why they were having me over here. It wasn't just to do a good deed and feed me. They wanted to talk to me about Jesus and God and those type of things." He was raised Pentecostal, Catholic? Catholic. Couldn't remember. Yeah. So he's from he's in the same state that we're in, but just not in the same city. But anyway, that's how he was raised. And so anyway, through a series of events, he obeys the gospel. And after he obeyed the gospel, his conscience got the best of him, and he realized that he could not stay in the United States illegally. So he went back. And then he had the opportunity to go to Florida College. Somebody was going to help pave the way, and so he began to put his paperwork together and got all the way pretty much to the very end, went to go get maybe his visas, and someone there at the office said, "You were in the United States illegally," and they basically punished him 10 years. Charged him with being illegally in the United States, and that 10 years is just about up, but he's never been able to come back. So he goes back home. He began to study the teaching of English, and now he teaches English at 2 different universities. The 2 weeks that he did not teach, 1 week he took off for us to arrive, to pick us up, and to be our translator throughout this whole process. He dropped us off on Monday. We got on a plane to come back, and another brother was arriving that day, and he was using the next week to do the same. So he looks at this whole experience of obeying the gospel and now being able to speak English and then taking his time to be able to translate as just what he does, an opportunity that God has given him. So Brother Elver is very key. He is not married, in his early 40s, so if there's anybody who think that they may be interested in Brother Elver, we could probably kind of hook you up. Because he's looking, and we're praying for him. We arrive in Suspiro, and again, you remember, we took about $10,000 cash on us to the Mexico City airport, and we have to exchange that into pesos, so I have 2 money belts with that, and so we went to 4 different banks at least, and I have those receipts right here if anybody's interested in seeing how that gets transferred from Mexico money to, from American money to Mexico money. So then we put all that money into money belts, and this is the next day. And so when we ate, after we get through eating, we told Brother Ruperto, we said, we want to talk to you privately. And so we took him into a room at the church building, and we began to tell him, you told me about what was going on. He did not tell me what his debt was initially, but I kind of pressed him on that, not thinking that we were ever going to be able to meet it. I just wanted to know what it was. I believe even one of the elders here said, "Hey, do you have any idea what he owes?" And I said, "No, I have no clue what he owes. Can't imagine what his medical bills are going to be for a whole year where our daughters needed medical care." But we found out. I pressed him on it. And, of course, once I found out, I shared it with the congregation here. And I'm just telling him that once I shared it with the congregation here, within a short time, the decision was made by the elders that we would meet that need. And so, again, we take out of our money belt 141,300 pesos. I don't know how many individual bills that were, but that this table is just covered. It looks like a deal is going down. And literally, Brother Ruperto, I mean, what you see right there is how they were. They did not know what to say. They did not know what to say. But what you have here on the next slide is, again, the date, the money in my handwriting delivered to him from Northwest. The amount of money that we've just counted out in pesos and what that's equivalent to in U.S. dollars. And then we have witnesses of Elver, Kathy, myself, and the very one who received the money. and that is Brother Ruperto and his wife, Anna. And Brother Ruperto, on the 28th of March, wrote to you, "Dear brethren in Christ, by the means of this present, let me greet you in the love of the Lord, hoping that my letter may find you well. Beloved brethren, the purpose of my letter is to thank you in the most humble way for the help you have given me into the hands of my brother Robert and his wife. I have received everything, and we are very grateful to all, you and our God, who has supplied our needs. Brothers and sisters, what you have done for us before God is an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God," Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. "I and my wife and my parents and my sisters would like to thank you for your great love for us, for participating and being a part of our pain and our needs. And this was your opportunity for the honor and glory of God. You will always be in our prayers, begging the Lord to fill you with so many blessings, knowing that the Lord will give you much more than that, and we will continue trusting in God that will be. If God wills, may one day I see you or have you in our home here. But if not, then we can see you in heaven with Jesus. My brethren, know that you will always be in our hearts, and we love you with all our hearts just as we love God, and that my letter can embrace you and make you feel how good and joyful we are with the good you have done. God bless you and keep you always. God bless you and keep you and always be with you. Your brother in the faith of Jesus, Ruperto Munoz Navarro, and his wife, Anna Maria Gomez Perez." And I'll be more than happy to post that letter that is in Spanish with my translation below that. Well, when you go to visit the brethren, they're going to feed you. And so again, we're now in the kitchen. So begin to think about that as we're reflecting on just how the Lord has blessed us in this country with the state-of-the-art kitchens that we have. But those tortillas that they're making are fresh, and they're preparing that in the corner where we're sitting. And we have to have something to drink, so they brought in some fresh mangoes, and they're preparing fresh mango juice. Depending on where you're at, and depending on how much people have to give you, you're typically going to eat something along that line. There's going to be some chicken. Depending on where you're sitting, you might get a pretty good-sized piece, you might not. You're going to get some vegetables. If you want more, they'll give that to you. But for sure, there's always going to be a big stack of fresh corn tortillas. And that stack just never goes away. Does it? It does not. No, you just start taking off the top. And if you know what you're doing down there, I taught Kathy how to do it this time. You put it in the palm of your hand, and you just roll that thing up. And it's just nice and tight and just works really well. And you don't really need a napkin if you really have learned how to do this, because as you're eating and getting stuff on, you just take your tortilla, and then it's just kind of ready for the next bite. But you may dip in, that stack may go down based upon the first hands that go down, that grab, and then it goes down an inch or two, and before you know it, somebody just sets another couple of inches on there. Now, when we eat down there, just so you know how it works, children do not eat first. And you know what? They don't know any difference. They're fine with it. Guests are going to eat. If they've had visitors at worship service, there's the table's only so big. And if there's 30 of us and the table only seats 10, then 10 are going to sit down and we're going to eat. And we're going to visit. And at some point in time, I've been there long enough, someone has to push their chair away from the table and just say, "Gracias, hermanos, thank you, brethren." And as soon as one person does it, everybody does it. And they clear the table off, and the next 10 sit down and they start eating. And eventually, the children get to eat. So you're having lunch, and then depending on where you're at, sometimes you have dessert. The very first time I ever had honeycomb was in Cespedo in 2001. And the second time I had it was in Cespedo, 2018. And when you have it, you understand what the psalmist was saying when he said, the law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of God is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. This honeycomb comes from about 50 feet behind where we're having lunch. And, the picture just doesn't do it justice. But needless to say, if your mouth is watering, it ought to be. Well, they get to services a whole lot different down there than we do. If you live in La Selva, and that's where you grew up, in the forest area, the roads are better now. It takes us an hour and 15 minutes to get there. 2001, it's 3.5 hours, if you're lucky, if you don't break down the way because the roads just beat you to death. You got to get around all these mountains. You can't go over them. They got to take you around. And, of course, you're going on a caliche road, and if you happen to meet up with a big truck coming the other way, you know, it's sort of like, okay, who's going to move over far enough and all those kinds of things. But many of the brethren have horses, and so when it's time for services, because they're coming from a pretty good distance away, if they have a horse, they're going to ride the horse. And if they don't have a horse, they're just going to walk. And so we're here in Puerto Bonilla. This is, again, on Wednesday afternoon. And this building is probably a half mile from where we park down the hill, closer to water down there. And so, again, it's a beautiful setting for a building. We get in there and we open the windows up. We're thankful for that. We're away from the mountains, so temperature-wise, we're going to get into the high 80s or so today. So we're glad that there's going to be a breeze, and so we're making our way to the building. There's trees down there. This is one, and they call it ceiba. That's how that's pronounced. This particular tree is rare, but it's throughout the country, and when you see it, there's just no mistaking it because it's grand. And some are much bigger than this, but this is pretty good size. We're just driving along, and this happens to be in someone's front yard. I suspect it didn't cost them a whole lot more for the land because of the tree like it does here in the States. But we stopped, and I really wanted to touch the tree and get up next to it, but we didn't want to do that because this was somebody else's yard. So we sent somebody up to the front door, first of all, to say, hey, can we touch your tree? Or the white guy wants to touch your tree. Is that okay? He said, yeah. I guess so. They're peeking out there to see, wow, there is something. Yeah, and so Kathy and I are getting close to this tree and putting our hands on it. It had little small thorns on it, not too sharp, but again, something that was kind of unusual. So anyway, a beautiful tree there. So we're preaching now the gospel in Puerto Bonilla. And again, I've worked with Elvair a number of years, and so the way we've learned to do it is if we're delivering a lesson, I'm going to say things for maybe a couple, two, three, four sentences, and as soon as I'm finished, he's right there, and he's saying what I said. If we're going to read something in Spanish, I don't bore them with reading from English. I may call the passage out, but I'm going to let him do that. Again, there's a lot of words I can say, but again, it's just easier. It's just easier, and Elvair is such a great translator. We've learned to work. Pretty nice podium that they have there in Puerto Bonilla. Brother Javier Cruz is his last name. He lives in San Cristobal. He is a mechanic. And it's always good when you travel in Chiapas to take a mechanic with you based upon the cars that you're traveling in. They're typically going to be 20 or 30 years old, so I think there's a lot of business taking care of used cars down there. And so on this day, he's traveling with us, and I'm not sure what I'm telling him, but I'm pretty sure he's not understanding what I'm telling him. And even if I would say it in Spanish, I'm pretty sure he's not understanding what I'm telling him. There we are. You can kind of see this is on a Wednesday during maybe 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. So, again, we're going to have two worship services on Tuesday, two on Wednesday, two on Thursday. Those are in six different locations. Friday, we're going to have one that we have to travel to. Saturday, we don't have any worship services. We stayed around the city of San Cristobal and did some personal work. Hopefully, I can tell you about that. And then Sunday, we finished up on the Lord's Day with Brother with the brethren there in San Diego. We're with the brethren here in Puerto Bonilla. This is just the brethren outside the building after services have concluded. They seem very happy. The brother standing with me here, there's two brothers that live in La Selva, Hector and his brother Isaías. They're two brothers, and they're married to two sisters. It worked out really cool. And they've got children. Again, his son is Ruperto. So that's the connection there. That's one of his sisters. I believe there are at least three more. It's so difficult sometimes to pick up, to keep up with all that. But boy, this man, Isaías, loves to sing and is blessed with a beautiful voice. And so is Ruperto, one of the best voices I've heard down there, just the ability to sing. So we're with them. We're with Brother Ruperto, Humberto Rodriguez and his wife. Again, he preaches for a congregation not here, but this is the area that he worked at to help establish the congregation years ago. Again, just with some of the brethren, you kind of can get an idea as far as what the surroundings are like. We are primarily in rainforest. Even though this is the dry season, it's still, again, one of the most beautiful places that we have ever been. It's sort of the running joke down there. That's what you do. You sort of like preach and eat. I mean, again, you arrive and they want to feed you. And that's fine, because a lot of times when you arrive, you're hungry. And then you preach, and then after you get through preaching, they want to feed you again. It's kind of like, well, we just ate a while ago. Yeah, but we got that was before the lesson, and now we have the after lesson meal. And so it becomes a pretty preach and eat. And so I'm not sure what we were having there. Some kind of a soup of some sort. And then you can kind of see on the table, they like to make that. I'm not sure what the drink. I don't drink that particular drink, horchata, but I think some of y'all probably have had that here. It's just not something that I'm in favor of. We drink a lot of coffee down there. Of course, you know, we don't have to go to Starbucks for coffee down there, because the coffee plants are just growing throughout the country. So again, they'll just go pick the coffee by hand and then find a piece of concrete and just lay those coffee beans out there on the concrete, and that's how they get their beans roasted. Just take a rake every few days and just keep, you know, turning them, and they just wait till they're just the right color, you know, medium and dark, however long they let them roast. And so again, if you want a cup of coffee, coffee is never far away. We drink a lot of coffee in Chiapas, and it doesn't get much better than that. I want to say something about the children there, not the big child, but the little children. Well, I can say something about her. I've been a lot of times, and I'm so thankful for all the opportunities I've had to go, but I tell you, It's never been better. The last two trips and then this trip, it can't be any better than that. I mean, you hit the ground, you leave here, and for seven straight days, you're just involved in the Lord's work. Until you go to sleep at night, you just, the whole day is spent in the Lord's work. And again, for me, there's just no better person than to do that with. There's just things that happen. When we gave the money to Brother Ruperto and his wife, they both begin to cry. She begins to cry. And as soon as she begins to cry, Kath just knows what to do. She just goes over there and she just engulfs Anna, and she just cries and holds her and talks to her and just comforts her. And, you know, it's just those things that us guys sometimes, we're just not good at that. But she is, and y'all are. And she's good with the kids, too. They would take to her. It's very simple to get their attention down there. Again, now, when I went in 2001, there was no cell phones, and so when we began to have the technology and we took them with us, and you could take their picture and show them their picture, it's the first time they'd ever seen themselves in that way. So I've always kind of said, you know, when you go down there, just start taking some pictures of the kids and then show them you took their picture. I said, you'll be a big hit right away. You do that and give them a piece of candy, and man, they'll never forget you. And so anyway, she's with the girls. Here's one of the trees that, again, reminds me of passage. I couldn't find the common name of it, but it reminded me of what the psalmist wrote regarding those who are who they ought to be. Blessed is the man who doesn't do these things. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This is not too far from where we stayed on Tuesday night when we went to La Selva. There's a house there that Brother Hector and his wife owned. They are the fathers of Norberto and Angelica. She's the kidney transplant patient we'll talk about momentarily. This is maybe a half mile or so from their house. There's a stream running behind that. And again, I've driven by this tree. It's behind a fence. so many years, and I just said finally today, stop, and I'm getting out. I got to go touch that tree. And so I walked down there, and again, I don't know if you can see me or not, but there I am. And this other tree that's kind of growing here, this tree right here, when we kind of got down and got behind, that tree is growing. It's not the same species, and it's growing out of it. So somewhere when they were young, they just decided to get together and do something, and it's just coming up. I think when Elvira came down with me and we just kind of imagined, I think if there was 15 of us, big people, I think we might be able to touch if we all put our hands and touched each other. That's how big it is at the base. I just can't tell you how magnificent the tree is. Just an amazing tree that God created. We're worshiping with the brethren in San Julian. We've now driven back. We're now gone the other direction, and this is on Thursday, and this congregation I've visited before, there's a preacher there and his wife who's had some eye problems. I'll show you them in a moment. And I didn't notice a hornet's nest that was right above where I was standing, but it was there the whole time, and the brethren reassured me that it was no big deal unless I preached too long. So I'm glad I didn't, you know. I think it worked out okay. Again, on this day, Brother Javier and his wife, Claudia, and their children, she speaks pretty good English, and we're thankful for that. They traveled with us, and he had a Honda, a 2005 Honda Pilot, and so we all got to ride together because it had the third seat. That was really great. And then so we're with the brethren here, and then, of course, it got kind of hot because we're down in the valley, and so we got in the car to go back, and he turned the air conditioner on, and I compared that to my first trip in 2001 when I was riding around in a couple of mid-80s Sentras that I was really thankful that we got from one place to another. You're talking in a car that had four doors in 2001, and we had one crank for the windows. So when it rained, you had to share the window crank, and then when it quit raining, you have to roll it down. And so we were in a car now with air conditioner and electric windows and stuff, and I said, man, this is high cotton here. We were moving up. But we're with the brethren. You can see some of them in the background. And there is the brother Armando, and his wife, in San Julian. He's a preacher of the gospel, and he's also a fisherman. They have a beautiful, huge freshwater lake that's probably maybe 5 miles at the most from their house. And so when we go there, not every time, but we anticipate when we go there, we're going to have fish. And so again, Elvira likes to fish too. And Elvira is saying, well, what lesson are you going to preach? And I said, well, I was thinking about preaching that lesson and it had 5 points. He said, well, you know, we may preach a lesson on 5 points, but if we're not having fish, I think we'll just give them 3. So I said, okay, so we get there and we're having this conversation and I'm listening to the Spanish and I can kind of hear their conversation going back and forth. And we've been there in about 10 minutes and Elvira looks over me and goes like this. So I knew then that we were having fish. So we gave them all 5 points. Now, I know I shared with a sister here that the best that we can determine, they call this fish a tilapia, and we have like a bad, that leaves a bad taste in our mouth because I'm not sure where our tilapia comes from in the United States. But I know where this one comes from because I've been to the lake where it comes out when I've been there before. And I wish I could tell you just how good that fish is. I've tried to tell Kat just how good that fish is. I tried to explain they're just going to put a fish on your plate and just get you a tortilla and just get after it. And it won't need anything. There's stuff around there, but you're not going to need anything. You're just going to need a plate for your bones. That's all you're going to need. And I tried to tell her how good it was, and she kind of believed me. I know she did believe me, but now she really believes me because she's had it. We traveled back to Tuxtla Gutierrez. This is the capital city, 2 million people. As best I know, I know there is this one congregation. There may be another one that I've never visited, and this is a very small congregation, and there is concern for this congregation because it reminds me of one of the churches of Asia that seemingly brethren aren't busy doing the things they ought to do, and I'm afraid that things are not as good there as they could be. But that man there's to my right, we call him Papa Smurf. Brother Rolfine is his name, and he's a wonderful brother. And boy, you're talking about one who's going to tell people about the gospel. He does that. And so we're always grateful to see him. Behind him, you can't see him very well, but Brother Cesario is just right off my nose there. And he's from San Julian, and I met him back in 2001, and forgive me, brother, but he was old then, and he's really old now. But he still is so faithful to come with us, and this time he's with us to come to Tuxtla. He rode back in the car with us. I had to put the seatbelt on him because I don't think he'd ever been in a car with a seatbelt before. Anyway, he came so he could see his wife because she was in the hospital there. I think it's Saturday morning now. We kind of have a sort of a day off, and so that morning we're invited over to a brother's house, Brother Darinel and his wife. They're bakers. This is in the basement of their house. Their house sits above this, and you can see their wood, and their oven is clay, and back here, that's the opening to it right there, and they've got a vented system, and they get up at 5 o'clock every morning, and by about 10 o'clock every day, one particular type of bread that they make at least 1,500 a day, so Brother Darinel and also his brother is preachers, and also they share the bread of life with people, John 6 and verse 48. And again, you just can't go over to someone's house without them offering to give that to you. I try to tell people, I just can't tell you how good that bread is. I mean, you say, well, yeah, you're probably really hungry. Well, yeah, I kind of was hungry, but still, it's just come out of that oven, and it was really good, and so we were thankful. So we were there that day, and this is on Saturday, and after we spent some time with them, there was two sisters in Christ that we went to go visit, one who has been out of duty and are not serving the Lord faithfully, and we went to her house, Sister Amelia, if you want to remember her name and pray for her. Sister Amelia, after we sat down with her in 15 minutes, I can't tell you, there was no doubt that she has so many problems in her life. Her husband was there too. He was behind a curtain in a bed, had had some sickness. Maybe he had just gotten out of the hospital not too long ago, but he's not. If he's a Christian, he might have been, I can't remember, he's not faithful and he's not serving the Lord, but he was behind the curtain, so I know he heard our conversation. So we talked with her for a while, and there's no doubt we couldn't help but be moved by her situation, just like you would with anybody in Christ when they share with you all the problems that they have in their life. Two children that are still serving the Lord faithfully, in fact, worshiping, going to services, teenagers, on a regular basis while their mom doesn't. Another brother that's older that's involved in drugs, husband, all kinds of problems going on, and so they have been going on. And so after listening to these things, all I tried to get her to do was to say, okay, you've been trying to take care of all these problems, and you've been trying to do that without the Lord, and I just simply asked the question, how's that working out? And she answered it herself, it's not working out. I said, yeah, I know it's not working out. I said, but I'm going to tell you what the Scripture teaches is, I don't know how your problems are going to get better. I couldn't tell her that. I said, we got to go home. I don't know how they're supposed to get better. But if you start serving the Lord, what I know from personal experience is, they'll get better. And when we come back in 2 years, you're not going to be the same person you are right now. And these things that are going on that you have no idea how they're going to work out. Well, we prayed with her and for her. She repented there on that Saturday. She was at worship service the next Sunday morning. That next morning, back with her brethren, repenting and letting them know that she was so sorry. All the efforts that they had made, asked for forgiveness. She was back that Sunday afternoon, so we're hoping that she remains faithful. And so we were thankful for the opportunity to be able to go and talk with her. We're in Comitán, and that's our traveling companions. That's Brother Darinel. Everybody's happy. Cass happy, Daughter Nell's happy, that's his brother Leo, so those are the two bakers, and their houses are separated by maybe a half a mile. Brother Leo in the back, his house was damaged by the earthquake last year, and he's a baker, and we went in to visit them, and we couldn't stay in his house very long, because when they're baking, it's messed up his ventilation system, so his house, where they live in, fills up with smoke. But we were able, based upon the kindness of an individual here that helped us out with our trip, just to give us money for those type of needs, to leave him a substantial amount that will at least be a down payment toward getting his house fixed so they're not having to breathe in that smoke every day from their living. And then, of course, to his left with the sunshine behind him is Brother Elver. This picture I share with you here is Brother Norberto and his wife, Angelica. She is the kidney transplant patient that you helped last year. You remember that story? I got a message from Joel. He called, was it Sunday afternoon? It was Sunday afternoon, and he called and said that she has an opportunity for another transplant. Her first transplant, the first kidney that she got the first time, is his. And it didn't work. It was good for a while, but then it failed. So then she had an opportunity to get another kidney. We notified, Joel notified us Sunday afternoon. Somehow I spoke with someone, Brother Don, somebody, Brother Dave, somebody. So why don't we talk to the congregation about it tonight? We needed, oh man, was it $13,000 or $12,000 or $13,000, something like that. And we made it known. And I mean, that night before any time had passed, the congregation here, based upon individuals saying, hey, we'll do this, I think there was $7,000 or $8,000 coming from here and also some coming from San Antonio. And so we sent that money to Joel. You took the money to Joel personally, Brother Don, and then Brother Joel sent that through a wire transfer in the following Monday or Tuesday, she had her kidney transplant. So she's doing really well. She's healthy and he's healthy. They live in Comitán. That's where he preaches, and we're in their building. You kind of see their offering up there. There's been a couple pictures that had an offering. Don't be fooled by that. That's pesos. Divide that by 17 and you'll know what their offering was on Sunday morning. Well, when you go to Chiapas, you go, but at some point in time, you got to come home. And so we're standing in the streets of San Cristobal de las Casas a Sunday afternoon. Streets that many of them, these rock work laid over 400 years ago. Very old city and very beautiful. I hope I'm not missing things. If you have your Bibles, turn for a moment, and I'll keep this short. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul, when he writes to the church at Corinth, says in verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Let each man do according as he hath purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness abideth forever. And he that supplieth the seed to the sower and bread for the food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, ye being enriched in everything unto all liberality which worketh through us thanksgiving to God. For the ministration of this service not only filleth up the measure of the want of the saints, but aboundeth also through many thanksgivings unto God, seeing that through the proving of you by this ministration, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession unto the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution unto them and unto all. While they themselves also, with supplication on your behalf, long after you by reason of the exceeding grace of God in you. I can't help but read the passages and think about you as a congregation and your participation in this. So many of you, so thankful that once we made this need known to you, that you just were so thankful that you had the opportunity to know about it, to pray about it, and to participate in some way. That is the heart that is talked about in here. And when we have that kind of heart, we don't have to worry about the Lord supplying our needs. He'll supply those needs abundantly. But the fallout of that is, since you did this, without even thinking about it, you have been in the prayers of other brethren. Your name. You say, well, they don't even know who I am. God does. And if they've mentioned the brethren at Northwest Church of Christ, and they have brought the brethren's name before God Almighty, He knows who you are. How great is it that they've been praying for us when all we did was what is our duty? To supply the need if we can. These are people who live a long ways away from you, and they speak many, much different languages, but they love the Lord like you do, and they want to go to heaven someday. It is likely that you'll never meet many of these people just because of the distance and it not being practical. But I hope through the photos that we've been able to sort of take you there with us and give you a few names and give you a few pictures with the names so that now when you're mindful of Ruperto and Sister Anna, that she will conceive again. And this time, they'll be blessed with a healthy baby. Not just one, but maybe many. And you'll be mindful of Norberto and Sister Angelica, that her body will continue to accept her kidney. So you'll be praying for them, and all the while, they love you so much. And you've already been prayed for, I promise you, more times than you have prayed for them. And someday, we serve the Lord faithfully. And God blesses us with a home in heaven. None of us deserve it. But by His amazing grace, He wants to give it to us. We're going to pass into a beautiful city, an eternal day. I don't know how it's going to work regarding people that we don't know. I got my opinion on people we do know. I think I'm going to know you. But people you don't know, you might have to just introduce yourself. And it could be a glorious day when you introduce yourself and that person introduces himself as, "I'm Ruperto. You know Navarro, and this is the woman who was my wife, Anna. And you helped erase our debt back in 2018. Or Norberto, who introduces himself and says, "This is was my wife, Sister Angelica. You helped us, and you helped her get her new kidney, and we enjoyed this many years of marriage and children, etc." There's a possibility that's going to happen in some way or another. And what a great day that's going to be when we meet those people that were our brothers and sisters all along. We just didn't have opportunity to meet them. May God bless you. And if there's anybody here tonight that needs to render obedience to the gospel or needs the prayers of the saints, whatever that may be, we'd offer you this opportunity while we stand and sing.